Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Ultra Hope Girls, a Danganronpa podcast. Today, we are so excited to be diving into V3, the long-awaited V3 Woo-hoo! Season. We could not be more excited to get started and get talking about probably one of the most controversial games in the series. Just so you guys know how we're going to handle this season, we are going to be splitting our episodes into a half non-spoiler, half spoiler type episodes. So if this is your first time playing through the games, you can listen to these episodes along with us. And then once you finish the entire V3 series, or if you already have finished the entire V3 series, you can listen to the second half of our episodes after our commercial break, where we will be spoiling the entire game.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Okay. I think so. Yeah. TLDR, if you haven't played before and this is your first time, listen to the first half, but not the second half. And if you've played the whole game, you can listen to the whole thing. But the second half, we'll do a warning before. We'll be like, spoiler city.
We'll make like alarm sounds.
Like blaring sounds.
But without further ado, let's get started.
I'm Maddie.
I'm Marin.
And I'm Caroline.
And we're the Ultra Hope Girls.
One, two.
Welcome to the Danganronpa Podcast.
You're on the threshold of an amazing episode. Showtime.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Hey.
Welcome back, listeners, to the pod. It's been a minute. We've been taking a little bit of a nap, but we've woken up, and now we are ready to continue our podcast with the final game. I'm going to say it, final game in the Danganronpa series, as much as we wish there were more. I think this might be it.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah. I can't believe that we're here. I know. Like, when we first started this, this felt very far away.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when we first started this, we were, like, very in the midst of a pandemic being, like, crazy, and the world is different now, and it's wild. Anyway. But I mean, that kind of leads me into my first note pretty well, which is just watching the intro of the game got me so emotional, because I just kept looking back and being like, wow, we have come so far. We have covered so much material, and this series is, oh, it's so great. And so the intro cries for I've ever.
Yeah. I mean, it literally like takes you back game by game, and it's just the scenes that they picked to show you to just like flash across the screen are like, they just reminded me of so many of the episodes that we've had and things we've talked about. It's so fun. Shall we dive into it?
Let's dive in.
Yeah.
So the screen in that intro video, it flashes with, it's not over yet. The killing game is not over.
It's We're not back. Over.
And then we meet ourselves. And for the first time in a main game, we are a female protagonist.
Yeah, it's about darn time.
It is about time. I don't know about y'all, but I'm very, very excited to finally have a female protagonist.
Yes, in a main game, I guess, because we do have Komaru and Toko. I don't want to like discount them. However, is, you know, it's visual novel. We're back to form here. And it's very exciting. Also, this segment is called Ultimate Revival.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about. It came up a couple of times in the, you know, this prologue. And I kept, every time I was like, what is that?
Yeah. Very interesting that it came up kind of frequently. I almost feel like that would be a good title for this episode.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Revival.
It's the revival of the Ultra Hope Girls, the Danganronpa.
They definitely meant it as the revival of Ultra Hope Girls when
yes,
they made it.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They knew that we were going to be here 5 years later.
Correct.
After the game came out.
Yeah.
It came out in 2017, right?
Yes, which is the year we graduated from high school.
That's actually strangely
Isn't that
close.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I thought that when I was playing this, I was like, that's odd. Anyway.
So Kaede, what are our first thoughts on our protag?
Does Maddie do you have thoughts? I was like, for you, dude.
My first note about Kaede is just about the picture of her as a baby.
Oh my god.
With the piano. Oh my god. I was eating dinner while I was watching the like a replay of this game to like take my notes and everything, and I literally was like, I started choking on my dinner when that photo came up. I forgot that was a thing. Like, just how janky she looks.
Wait, I have a note specifically about this, which is that, hold on, oh god, where is it? Oh yes, I said baby Kaede is my sleep paralysis demon. She is scary. Why didn't they just make her look like a baby and not like a weird mini version? Like the mini American Girl dolls, you know, those small ones with no nose.
I feel like it's like a Renesmee from Twilight. You know, that like horrible CGI baby.
With the weird eyes. Like, I know, that is so true. It's the same energy.
We'll put a poll out. Which is worse?
Oh my gosh. But okay, so here's the thing. The first time I played this, I use quotes because during the pandemic, Marin played it while I watched her play it. And so I've never like played this firsthand. And I didn't like her the first time I played this. I really thought she was a pain. However, now replaying this, I don't know if I'm just less jaded now. I don't know if it's because I am in voiceover and so I voice characters like this sometimes for auditions, but I don't dislike her as much as I used to. I actually like her a lot more on this replay, I gotta say. Obviously we haven't gotten very far in the game, so I won't say much more, but based on the prologue, I like her more than I remember. So yeah,
I'm happy to hear that, Caroline, because I remember like hearing you and Marin like hate on Kaede a lot when we were first starting out playing this game, and I was like, why do you hate her? Like, I don't know, like what is she, like what's the issue? I just like didn't get it. I actually have to say, like, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I don't dislike her at all, but I do notice some things, you know, replaying this that I didn't notice as much the first time that were like a little bit like her excessive like positivity does grate on my nerves a little bit. Just because I am very much the kind of person in life who I'm like, when shit is hitting the fan, we should be able to acknowledge it and be like, hey, shit's hitting the fan, stuff isn't good right now, rather than just being like, no, it's fine, it's great, actually this is a good thing, like silver lining, blah blah blah. Like, I actually get so annoyed at people like that. So she does have some aspects of her that are like that, which to me that is a bit irritating. But overall, I do think she's starting out as a very strong protagonist. I like her. I think that, like, I don't know, I could see myself being like friends with her. And also kind of cool that this is our first protag with an actual ultimate talent,
right? Too. That was something I wanted to talk about, because it's like she just fits right in with the other ultimates. It's not, there's nothing like special, you know, like with her, really, you know, it's not like, oh, random pick of the lottery, or I forgot my talent, oh, who am I, you know. She's just I like piano.
I guess she did forget her talent originally, but so did everyone else, so I concur. Like, it's like she's not different, she's able to have that ultimate ability.
Yeah, like, that
with the entire class.
That is a good segue into, I guess, just talking about the just this weird first part of the game where it's like everyone's in different clothes, you know, it's like no one looks like themselves. They refer to themselves as ordinary, you know, kids or ordinary students, and it is just really bizarre. And it's like we're starting off, you know, I think if I remember correctly, you know, Danganronpa 1, it was like a huge reveal that their memories were erased. And then DR2, they said something about it in like the middle of chapter 1, you know, or something like that. And then in this game, it's like they're starting off like very clearly these people do not know what's going on. And then it's almost like the giving them back their memories maybe is like, I don't know, some kind of reward. Like, and also now they have the technology to like take that memories away and give them back like it's candy. You know?
Yeah.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
It made me wonder what they were filtering out, if you know what I mean, in terms of they wiped all their memories, it seems, as they, you know, not even like, I mean, it was even a more extreme like memory wipe than the first two games. It wasn't just, oh, we wiped your memory of the last couple of years. It was, we wiped your memory of who you are and what like your whole, like Kaede steps out of the locker and she's like, I don't even know my own name. So, and then they give back the memories of who they are and their talents and everything, but they still don't remember like, well, I guess some of them talk about remembering getting like kidnapped, but they don't remember like how they were brought to this place or how they ended up in the lockers or like whatever, anything like that. So it makes me wonder what selective memories might be getting given back to them, but what might still be hidden from them.
Right. Yeah.
And why?
Yeah.
I know. And we'll find out more, I'm sure.
I feel like this game is, how to say this? I think there are a lot of aspects in this game that we've seen before in the other games. So, for example, the barbed wire on the windows being similar to the, you know, like metal plates on the walls, or even character-wise, you know, we have, I feel like we have a Nagito character potentially in, wait, who did I even, all of the names have left my brain.
Got to pull up that chart with all their
names. Were you going to say Correkio?
I think so.
Because I also had that thought, but.
Really? Yes, you got Nagito vibes from Correkio?
Yes.
Yes. Interesting.
Yeah, like fast forwarding when we meet him. He's like, everything is beautiful. Humanity is beautiful. And it's like right off the bat, it's like, okay, did you miss the part where you're supposed to pretend to be normal?
Yeah. He's like, I want to like watch you go outside so that you can get depressed about the fact that we can't leave.
Oh, true.
It's like literally one of the things he says. And it's
He does say like something about like, oh, your despair might also be beautiful. Something like that. Yeah. That's a good point.
But there's like that aspect. I feel like we see who the antagonist is going to be pretty quickly with all of Kokichi's lines being very aggressive towards, I feel like, a pretty sweet character. So we have our Nagito, we have our antagonist, we have our locked thing, we have the killing game starting, we have, you know, our pro tag, and we have a potential friend interest with Shuichi. And it's like, to me, it felt like Danganronpa was laying out, okay, these are all of the things that you've seen in the past. And now it's kind of like, okay, so where is it going to go? You know, how is this going to be different? They've taken away all of the, you know, surprises that we found in the first two main games. And they've like basically made it now an open playing field for us to not know what comes next.
Right.
I mean, it's very true. I will also just say though, like, personally, I had a similar note about like kind of the Nagito antagonist vibes a little bit, but about Rintaro, because Rintaro from the start is like, it seems like he knows more than he's letting on. He's like really kind of unfazed by everything. Like, he's not freaking out like anyone else is. He's like, I don't know. It was like, I almost got, not like personality wise Nagito vibes from him, but like his role in the story, I almost got the vibe that I was like, oh, I wonder if he's going to be like the antagonistic character that kind of like, we don't know if we can trust him. What does he know? What are his motives? Like that kind of thing. I actually got those vibes from him. And like, and then there's the thing about Kyo being like thinking that like despair and everything is beautiful, even when it's bad. So yeah, I don't know. There's some interesting folks.
So yeah, on Rintaro for a sec, it is interesting because he does say, even before they get their the information back about their talents, he says, if this is what I think it is, which is so like weird, like, you know, and it makes me wonder how this game is connected to games past, you know, and like, yeah, you know, and like what we're gonna find out about that.
I mean, it's possible that maybe like what I wonder what was going through on my mind is whether or not Rintaro had some kind of connection to maybe someone, one of the characters from one of the past games or something. I don't know.
That, right, like with one of the survivors, maybe.
Or maybe even not one of the survivors, who knows?
One thing that's really interesting about Rintaro not being the protagonist and us getting to see him as a side character is I feel like in game two, where we play as Hajime and we're like, I don't know what our talent is. We're like, oh, it's Hajime. Like, you know, what a bro. We're him, you know?
Right.
And we trust him because we are him for the most part, at least. Whereas with Rintaro now, we are not that character. And so seeing someone say, hey, I don't know what my talent is, we're like, whoa, like, can we trust him? Who is he? Like,
it's
a
very interesting counter view of how, you know, we're seeing that type of character play out.
Yeah, it's almost like this might be how the other characters felt when Hajime was like, I don't remember my talent, you know, as he says, Hajime. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks. I'm a voice actor.
Also, I had a couple notes of Rintaro. I just took like some notes on like my first impression of each character. And I actually will say that even though I was like suspicious of him, I immediately liked Rintaro. Like, I love his aesthetic so much. Like, his look, I don't know, I love his character design. And he's just like mysterious and like confident, and I don't know, like I loved him as a character. But at the same time, I was also like, is he good or is he bad? So yeah.
And knowing Danganronpa, I'm sure the answer is going to be a lot more complicated than good and bad.
I feel like it's going to be black or white.
Oh,
there's no gray, remember.
Okay.
0-100 on the kids this time.
0-100 on the kids. JK. JK.
Uh-huh. Just kidding.
So what do we, to address the elephant in the room, or should I say the cubs in the room, what are our thoughts on the whole Exosols thing and like the opening sequence? I was just like, what the hell is going on? This is so over the top, and there are so many bears. So many bears, and they really annoyed me way more on this playthrough than they did in the first one, I gotta say.
I kind of found that I was clicking through their text pretty fast. Like, having played the game, I just wasn't quite as enthralled maybe as the first time, where like the first time through, I'm like, oh my gosh, like Monokuma had kids. Like, wow, that's not something I expected. But this time I kind of felt like I was like, okay, like conversation. Okay, now we're back to the main 16. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, I definitely feel what you're saying, Caroline, about just feeling at least mediocre about the Monarch Cubs at this point.
Yeah, it's funny, in the whole introductory section when Monokuma comes out for the first time, and like him and the Monarch Cubs are just talking back to back, I was like, oh my gosh, can we please get some sweet release from this stuff that I do not care about at all? And what was I gonna say? Oh, and then my thought is like, you know, they say some lines, like there's this one line, so like one of the Monarch Cubs says before the kids remember their talents, where one of them says, according to the schedule, the Exosols aren't supposed to show up till later. We should have read the script. And I'm like, okay, so is Monokuma like getting to the point where he has seen it all, or like Junko or whoever's behind this, they've seen it all that they need to like delegate out to other people? Is that what's going on right now? You know what I mean? And I have no idea. It just, things like that, I was like, okay, so Monokuma is still in charge. Like, I knew he was coming back, obviously, because it's Danganronpa, baby.
Right.
But yeah, I was like, what is going on here?
Scene was a little much for me as well. The banter between Monokuma and the Monarch Cubs, I was just like, why?
Right.
It's just... it's just, that was not my favorite. But I also had a question. Do you guys know, okay, so the very beginning, like when you're like running away from the Exosols, like through the halls of the school, which is actually kind of nerve-wracking, do you know if do they actually like kill you or whatever if you like don't move? Or
I Okay, so I'm laughing because, as Caroline mentioned, we played this game together. And by that, I mean she had to watch me drastically fail, like, a lot. And in that first scene, I was so panicked. Like, my computer keys weren't coordinating with the game keys. For some reason, my laptop was just like, nope. Like, the WASD is not going to work for you, pal. So I was freaking out the entire time. And I kind of remember they can catch you and then they just start you over, if I'm not mistaken.
I can't remember specifically, but that does sound right. Because, like, if you could die in that, that would be really ridiculous. And so
that'd be really dumb. I was like, I don't think that they'd be out to kill the participants so quickly, but I wondered about that. I was like, what happens if you don't run?
Yeah, this time I put it on easy difficulty because I'm, you know, more in it for the logic part of it than the action. Obviously, maybe that's not obvious, but that's how I like playing the game. But I like, they don't really chase you in the easy one. Like, I think I made a wrong turn and they were no closer to me than they were. So I was just like gallivanting around the school like, find the gym.
that's nice. Really funny. I am also, speaking of the Monocubs, before we like leave this topic of conversation, I will say that their presence is a blessing, because whenever they're on screen, my favorite song from this game comes on, Rise and Shine or Sign. Song in the world. It's and so one that good. Inspired our intro song very heavily, as you can probably guess.
Yes.
One.
You're on the threshold of an amazing adventure.
I actually have one more note about the Exosouls too, like the Exosoul bear combo. I thought it was incredibly funny that in the first section of the prologue, where everyone's dressed in the school uniforms, the first thing they see is the Exosouls and they freak out. And then when the bears come in, they're like, okay, like, what's going on? Like, these were really scary machines, you know, like, can you explain yourselves, random talking bears? When the second time in the prologue, when the characters are dressed more similarly to their ultimate abilities, they see the bears first and they freak out because the bear is the first new, like, stimulus, I guess. And then the Exosouls aren't quite as scary. The bears were the scary thing because that was the first monster. And I think that was kind of interesting, their reactions to that.
The primacy effect.
Oh, Maddie, little sneaky psychologist, you.
I also had a note just saying, I did enjoy how you could interact with objects in this game and just smack things and get money. And I wish that real life was actually like that. Like, I could just go into work, smack a table, smack a chair, and then have money get thrown at me.
Right. That would like dollar bills. Like,
right, exactly. That would be a slightly different line of work for me than what I currently do. It's not impossible.
I almost felt like it was like being on like Facebook Marketplace, because the item would disappear. So you were actually like physically selling it.
You're, right, you're like selling the chair.
That's true. That's really true.
But then you can reset it and have it all come back and smack it all over again.
Right.
Genius, honestly.
The fact that we use Facebook is going to definitely alienate our...
It ages us.
It ages us. Right.
What do the cool kids use these days?
TikTok.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so TikTok Marketplace.
You know it's coming.
Oh my god.
I do want to say, when they say the part where they get their memories back and kind of remember who they are, I really love the, like, you know, that transformation Kaede goes through with, like, that, where she, like, her outfit comes off and then the new outfit comes on, is very like magical girl anime trope. It's like very Sailor Moon-esque. It's like they're donning their powers, like, you know, over their everyday outfit. And
I really like that.
I will say, I like cheered when Monodom finally spoke two words and I was like, Jason.
I know.
Jason Derulo.
A total of two words in this entire
I know. But for anyone, any listeners who are not aware, Jason Wishnov, the voice of Byakuya Togami, who we have interviewed on this podcast, is the voice of Monodom, the robot. So for anyone who doesn't know that, now you do.
Yeah.
This is the Monodom fan account
this,
now.
This is a Monodom fan
right,
club.
We are the Monodom fan club. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick breaky break. But before we do, we just want to tell you about our Patreon. The lowest tier is just $2 a month, and you get access to a bunch of cool bonus episodes, as well as other perks like a Discord and also book club and movie nights with Marin. Pretty cool. Pretty cool, guys. We're also on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. We're Ultra Hope Girls Podcast everywhere. And you feel free to reach out to us there. Ask us questions. We love hearing from you guys. All right, we'll see you right after the break. So whenever we get our memory back, we wake back up in the locker and basically repeat the same dialogue that we just said, which is super interesting.
Like almost word for word.
Right. And it's like, you know, clearly the personality on the inside is pretty much the same from the coyote we saw before, kind of.
Right.
And it, yeah. And then Shuich comes out of the locker.
Shuich,
I'm so glad we can say Shuich now.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this day.
I actually have a note which says, if I have to hear one more character say they're just a normal high school girl, I might scream.
I know they do say that a lot in this first part of this thing. They're like, we're just ordinary kids. And I'm like, oh my God.
I thought we had left Kamaru in the past.
Right.
I thought we were done with that, but I guess not.
And here is where the Kaede hate comes out.
This is what Maddie was mentioning before.
Right, Ryan does not like Kaede.
I don't hate Kaede. I am going to hold off on some of my opinions until, you know, the later chapters just to share with everyone, because I don't want any of my thoughts to even remotely come off as spoilers for her for later in the game. But I just feel like they could have done a lot more with her character, and maybe it was just a bad first taste with her. Like when she wasn't in her piano outfit, it felt like she was Kamaru in a way. And it was like, as someone who is excited to have a female protagonist, I wanted someone different. There are a lot of different women in the world. I don't know if they know that, but
there
you
are?
Know, I know it's wow. Shocking. It's shocking. Yeah. But I just wanted someone who felt different than Kamaru.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like Toko and Kamaru are so different as protagonists.
Right.
And there are more than two types of women. I'm here to shock everyone today.
Wow.
Actually, there's three types of women, and it's Maddie, Marin, and Caroline.
Yeah, that's true.
Just
I'm
kidding.
Maddie.
I will say though, in Danganronpa's defense, it is kind of a trend with them now. This is kind of number three of having the protagonist be intentionally kind of boring, if that makes sense.
It's
like
true.
I mean, Makoto in the first game is literally like just some guy, and
then, yeah,
and then he becomes much more later on. But then like Hajime is in a lot of ways very similar to Makoto,
right?
And then yeah,
very
I don't
true.
know, I feel like in some ways that is kind of intentional,
right? The protagonist is supposed to be like purposefully basic because we are the protagonist. So if it's
anyone
a character that
them.
Has any sort
yeah.
of division, it's going to be harder
yeah.
for it to be a first person game.
That is very true. I think that's super fair. Yeah. Maybe I'm judging a little harshly then. Yeah. I'm
but
so
I hear
curious
you, though.
On this replay to see if I like her more than I did the first time. Like exactly.
Yes.
I'm totally in the same boat with you, Caroline, where I'm like, I'm ready to reevaluate my past biases.
Like I definitely like her a lot more than Kamaru already, I gotta say.
Yeah.
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 I like,
I agree.
Oh gosh. I was like, I think I needed to like know Kamaru and then I could really embrace how lucky we are to have Kaede.
Yeah, there's just okay
yeah.
Here's my only Kaede hate for this episode. Actually,
okay,
I guess I already had a little bit, so this is my second Kaede hate, and then I'm done probably. She has this line that's like, no one calls me the ultimate pianist. Most people just call me piano freak.
Oh my God.
It was like such a, like, I saw this description called like a pick me kind of person.
Oh, and yeah.
That was the vibe I got, where it's like, everyone calls me piano freak and bullying is not okay. That's not okay. But it was just like, you don't know this guy like at all, and this is what you're leading with. Like, I don't know, I just felt like it's weird.
Speaking of this guy that you just mentioned that Kaede is speaking to, Shuichi, what are our first impressions of Shuichi? I personally really liked him. This is also, I think it's also interesting that this is, other than the ultimate lucky student, which it's implied that every year at Hope Speak Academy there was one, so there would be repeats. This is the first talent repeat of the whole series. This is the first repeated ultimate detective, which made me worry that like that meant Kyoko had died or something, but she died at the end of the anime and then like theoretically came back to life. But then I was like, oh, does this mean that like Kyoko somewhere maybe is no longer considered the ultimate detective? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, this could be really, really far in the future, because one thing that made me think that it might be like further in the future than closer to the other games is the way they describe the Ultimate Initiative.
Yes, yes.
Because it sounds like this has expanded way beyond just Hope Speak Academy as this one school. It sounds like this is now some like almost international business kind of thing, where they have these like the Ultimate Academy for Gifted Juveniles. That's like, from that it's grown so much, and I don't know, maybe it's just much farther in the future.
So I have a note about this, and I really wanted to talk about the Ultimate Academy for Gifted Juveniles, because it's almost implied that now governments are involved with scouting ultimates, which makes me have more questions. Like, okay, so is this something that the government feels they need to control or, you know, regulate, so to speak? Or, and the way that they're talked about is almost as if the ultimates are superior citizens, right? Yeah. And this was something we were sort of seeing in the DR3 anime with the reserve course and the regular course and all of that stuff. So this is another theme that's coming back, is the superiority of the ultimates, which this goes back to Shuichi. Of my first impressions of him, it's really interesting because it seems like the standards of what makes you an ultimate have changed, because he like stumbled across this. He hasn't like worked hard for it like someone like Kaede has. And so it's just interesting, like, how do they deem what deserves an ultimate ability? Do they want natural talent only, or will they accept someone who has worked hard for what they're good at, you know? So I'll just like finish up my Shuichi thoughts, because, you know, so that Marin can then share her thoughts on everything that I have just said. But it's funny with him. I feel like the outfit does not match the personality. Like, he has like this edgelord outfit. He has this like shady baseball cap, but then his personality is like, oh, but Katie, do you think that's a good idea? Oh, I don't know. I love Shuichi. He's so cute. Anyway, but yeah, it's just kind of funny.
He's an anxious bean.
Yeah, he is an anxious lad. I have two thoughts about this. The first is regarding the situation as a whole and ultimate talents and that kind of stuff. I almost wonder, kind of going off what you were saying, Caroline, if this is how they pick the ultimates, is like, this is almost like a ceremony to pick them as ultimates in this maybe future, maybe relatively near after, just because in that first part of the prologue, Kaede says, I have skills, but I wouldn't necessarily call them ultimate talents. And it takes the Cubs saying, like, look, you are the ultimate, like remind yourself of all the work you put into this. Here's your outfit, you know, that shows off your ultimate talent, for them to really embody that, and for her to be like, yeah, I am the ultimate at this. Like, I do deserve that title kind of vibe. And so, I feel like that could maybe be it, is maybe we're seeing like the inner workings of how they're picking ultimates.
That's like, an interesting thought.
The other kids went through this, like, you know what I mean? Not obviously we've seen them go through a killing game, but more like the ceremonial aspect of like maybe Byakuya Tagami at some point was sat down and said, hey, like, we know you have skills in this regard. You are the ultimate. And that's when he started embodying that.
The ultimate identity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
And then for Shuichi, I like Shuichi. My only comment that I have on him at the current moment is that I feel like he's bald.
Is that that's what the hat's hiding?
Do you remember that, Caroline? You were like, when we were first playing it, Caroline was like, oh, like, you know, he's mysterious. He's got the hat on. I was like,
and it's that he's bald. He's like a receding hairline at 16.
I was also going to make a note about the, in terms of their, like, the ultimates that we're having in this game. Why do I feel like, maybe this is just me, but it seems like everyone, not everyone, like Kaede, like ultimate pianist, like she is implied to be very talented, like, and that's a, like a very real talent that a lot of people have, whatever, but like it seems like a lot of the other ultimates in this game almost have like crappy talents, and it's almost like, wait, how are you the ultimate at this thing? Because like Shuichi, like Caroline said, literally stumbled into it, like accidentally solved like one case, and it's like, oh, you're the ultimate detective now, like, wait, what? And then like Tenko with her Neo Aikido, who that she basically just made up herself, and then Himiko, like the first conversation you have with her, Kaede is all excited, oh, a magician, like, what can you do? And Himiko describes like the most basic tricks, like card tricks and the rabbit in the hat, and Kaede is like, that's all like really like basic. And so I'm like, part of me is like, are these like actual like ultimate talents, or are they kind of just being like, it almost just seems like we're not supposed to take these ultimates as seriously as some ultimates in the past, or even maybe this killing game as seriously as other ones in the past, because of, I mean, if you think about the way that the Monocubs and Monokuma are interacting as well, it's like, I don't know, it's just harder to take it all seriously.
I'll throw in a potential, if it is, let's say, going back to what I was talking about, like a corporation or whoever picks the ultimates saying like, hey, you have the potential to be the ultimate, maybe this killing game in a very disturbing way is how they want these people to prove themselves. Like Shuichi stumbled his way into solving a case, now he's in a killing game, he can prove himself, you know what I mean, as an ultimate detective. Or, you know, Himiko, the ultimate magician, she could totally prove her talents in this scenario, in this environment. I mean, I'm not encouraging it. Maybe that's just how they've decided to do things now, is say, maybe, here's someone who's a little, like, I don't know, like, creative at how they live their life, or, you know, use their talents, but here's a very stressful environment where you can prove why it matters.
That's interesting.
Would use her piano skills to murder, to play piano really fast and kill someone by bombarding them with the sound waves.
She would just play that really low note that makes you want to poop.
The poop note.
The poop note.
Oh, but yeah, no, that's an interesting thought too, because you know, they could use their talents to assist them in murder, or to assist them in solving the murders, or who knows.
I have a note about Tenko too.
Oh, can okay,
share it?
Yeah,
love this gal, what an icon. She has a line that says, don't you know that you can unlock your brain's full potential by yelling to build up spirit energy? And that is actually true. I took a self-defense class and they talked about it. And so I thought I'd share that here. But in martial arts, it's called a kiap, or in Japanese, it's a kiai. And it's basically like when you yell out while you're doing some sort of exercise or some sort of motion. And a 2009 study from Iowa State University measured hand grip strength when people were yelling out versus when they weren't. And their strength increased by about 7% when they were yelling out. So actually channeling that kind of like inner, or I guess outer sound can increase your inner strength and really like get you involved in the activity, which I think is really cool.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Should we go through the characters and chat about them? I think we should.
I think we should do first impressions of each character. I know we've touched on Kaede and Shuichi, but I have like a little list of my kind of first impressions and first thoughts in the order in which we meet them. Okay. If you want to do it.
Yeah. So the first person we meet is Samugi. If you choose to stop and say hello, you have to meet her. And yeah, she's very plain, kind of a weird personality. But it matches with the ultimate cosplayer, I think, just because like people who are really into, you know, fiction and stuff and who are dedicated to their fandoms like myself are incredibly socially awkward, and I am that, so I understand. And I also, though, the interaction with Kaede calling Samugi sexy is very interesting.
Yes, yes. So yeah. I actually do headcanon Kaede as a lesbian, personally.
Oh, interesting.
Because of this interaction with Samugi, and later on with Tenko, Kaede calls Tenko cute, like, multiple times. And I think this gal's into gals, personally. But yeah, I think, or at least bi. But
yeah, she's a woman loving woman in some form. I think too. So. I think the text supports the, and more on that in Patreon episodes coming up.
Yeah, I like Samugi. I feel like the first time I played through, I was a little middle of the road for her. I think maybe because she just kind of, I mean, she's got a cool talent and, you know, she's a cool aesthetic, but she's a little bit awkward. And so she didn't really stick out to me that much first time through. But this second time through, like, the first thing she says, I mean, she's like getting poked in the face and she's like, I don't owe you a conversation. You know, like, she's kind of right. Like, and I love that. Like, I mean, do I think that she should probably say hi to people if she's just been, you know, like kidnapped and needs to get out? That might help her get out, but she doesn't owe anyone anything. And I really liked that first conversation with her.
Honestly thought that was also like kind of a power move, just to be like, I was ignoring you because I hope you'd go away. I didn't want to talk to you.
I was like, same, dude. Honestly, like, been there.
Next person we meet is was it Himiko or Rintaro that we meet next?
It depends on what, because I wanted to experiment this time if you like could meet other people before, and you can. So Rintaro is the next person you'll run into in the scheme of things, but you don't have to meet him. You can like go past him. Yeah. But Rintaro, we don't know his talent. We kind of already talked about him a little bit, like with everything. But yeah, is he telling the truth? I like his character design. I agree with Maddie. My guess is he's the ultimate like pirate. He looks like a pirate.
I love that. I think he's the ultimate alt kid.
E-boy.
I thought that was supposed to be Shuichi.
Oh wait, you're right.
That's true. Oh,
he's the second ultimate e-boy.
This is just a whole game of e-boys.
It really is.
It is, because we got Kibo and Kokichi too.
Yeah. So true. The next person I saw was Tenko.
Okay.
Tenko. Also,
the face she makes.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. And also, I love the gay panic on her face when Kaede calls her cute. She's like, what? I'm cute. I mean, like, it's so, she's such a kid in high school who is trying so hard to be straight but is so gay, and it's adorable. And also shout out to my gal Julie, I love you, lady. And she voices Tenko, and I just think she does a killer job.
Yeah, 100%.
Agreed. We get to hear degenerate males for the first time.
Males,
truly a privilege for us.
Right.
Our ears. Yep.
I love that line. I said that in episode one of our podcast. And so for those of you, that's an Easter egg for you.
Aww, yeah. So cute.
And then we have Himiko.
Yeah.
Do we think she's the ultimate mage or the ultimate magician?
You know, remains to be seen. Honestly, she kind of has Tsumugi vibes sort of too, where she's just like I just want to take a nap. She's so like I don't even know. I just love Himiko. She cracks me up. And I love her voice acting.
Yeah. Caroline does a killer Himiko impression. Like 10 out of 10 Himiko.
Thank you. I'm honored.
I remember we played the Danganronpa Werewolf and you were Himiko. Do you remember that? And it was like unreal.
So good. And I do remember Jason being like, wow, that was really good. And I was like, thank you. Thanks.
I think that she's the ultimate mage, in my humble opinion, because I think that that is just the ultimate magic move, is to make all of your magic seem fake. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's almost meta in that way, where it's like, she's playing against herself almost.
That's interesting. I like that though. I agree. I think she's the real deal.
I apologize, but I did not like Himiko upon first impression. I just thought she was kind of annoying and like just really like immature. I don't know. I just like didn't love her.
What?
I only have one more note on Himiko, which is just that she is our first character in this entire series to be given an ultimate talent and decline it. Say no, that's actually wrong.
She's well, like, I will say Teru Teru always insisted on being called the ultimate chef, even though his designation was the ultimate
cook.
That's
a good point.
You're so right. Just kidding.
like yes, do I wish it was Himiko? Absolutely. But however, it's
Himiko is greater than Teru Teru.
It's true. I like Himiko on that. Way better than I like Teru Teru
right.
at all. Yeah. The next person I have on my list is Mew.
Yep, same.
Which she is really something else. it's interesting because our resident perv in this game is now female. In the first two games, our pro tags were both male and our resident pervs were both male. And now in this game, our pro tag is female and our resident perv is female. Because Mew
was
just
perv in game one.
Hifumi.
I considered it Hifumi.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay.
But I will also say, to be fair, Toko had her moments too when she
That's
say
true.
Really, really like crude things that were not called for. But like Mew takes it to another level.
Oh my god, she is nuts, and I love her for it.
I know, I love her.
I love her. I think she's so ridiculous. And I literally like her. I like that her first instinct in this situation is just to do drugs.
I know.
Like, she's like, well, guess I don't have anything else to lose.
She's like, I need to trip my balls off right now.
Right. I love that.
She goes to the storage room trying to find it, which is actually pretty genius.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Yeah.
And then when Kaede responds with like the, what? You can't use drugs to get high.
Oh my god, I know. I was like,
Kaede is so like, oh, she's the goody two shoes.
She's funny. Yeah.
All right, everybody, we are going to wrap up for today. We talked for so long about this amazing game that we are going to have to split it into two. You know us, we tend to go on tangents and we just can't stop. So you're going to have to hang with us another week to find out our spoiler-filled thoughts on this game. But we're so excited that you came, so excited that you're here to listen. We cannot believe that we are in this final game of Danganronpa, and we are so excited for what the rest of the season has in store. But make sure you follow us on Twitter, on TikTok. We are at @ultra_podcast and on Twitter. That's what we are on Twitter. And then we are Ultra Hope Girls Podcast on TikTok. Become a patron. Lowest amount is $2 a month. But if you do $5 a month, you get to pretty much hang out with us Ultra Hope Girls all the time. And that's a pretty cool thing to do. But that's all for today. And we cannot wait to see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
It's a lie. So long.
Farewell.
So long. Farewell.
So long. Farewell.